Welcome and Sarah blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that are listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on the recordings. Sarah blessing everyone on this beautiful sunny Sabbath, April 25th, 2020. This is our lesson 302. This is our review, part 2. Of our chapter 65 entitled The Temple Cleanse. Again, this is a part 4 of our study, dear ones. Our opening hymn to our theme is entitled Jesus Pay It All. And if any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic to do so. I heard the Savior say, Thy strength in thee is small. Child of weakness, wash and pray. Find in me thy all and all. Jesus, pay it all. All to him I owe. Sin have left a crimson stain, he wash it white as snow.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. Can change a leopard's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Sin. Go ahead, Josh.
Since nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, I lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
We could all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have the narrow blessed day. We go solve for our sins, our iniquities, and our Christ-like spirits. Be with us wherever we go, whatever we do. Be with us now. We just have yet another blessed study. Let us be able to keep on cherishing everything we learn, with everything we know and everything we read. And let us be able to keep on finding a good bite and to keep on helping others today, so that way they can know who you are and know how to love thee and respect thee just as we do. And we can keep hearing in how this illness has been in harming many recovered, others haven't, and some weren't even able to survive. But we pray that we may be able to keep doing our parts in order to stay strong, stay healthy, and old, and stay safe. Let us be able to help many to repent from their sins before it is too late for them. We pray that you may help us with all other troubles there will be in the future. Let us avoid the temptations that the devil will use against us. Let us be able to always be strong and be firm, and always be diligent, respectful, obedient, faithful, and be all things that are good. Be with us now as we start yet another chapter, and always cherish the lessons, and always be, always be cautious of what we do, what we say. This, we love you, Lord God, looking forward to meeting all your promises. This is my prayer, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening verse for our review lessons is taken from James chapter 1, verse 17 to 20 from the King James Version, and it is a memory verse song, and it goes like this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot, he us with this word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your question, your comments, your testimony, or anything that you would like to share with your remnant family, dear ones, let's take a few minutes to review what we had read last Sabbath from our part one of our lesson entitled The Temple Cleansed Again, part four in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 594. In his contest with the rabbis, it was not Christ's purpose to humiliate his opponents. He was not glad to see them in a hard place. He had an important lesson to teach. He had mortified his enemies by allowing them to be entangled in the net they had spread for him. Their acknowledged ignorance in regard to the character of John's baptism gave him an opportunity to speak. He improved the opportunity by presenting before them their real position, adding another warning to the many already given. Desire of Ages, page 594, paragraph 4.
The Desire of Ages, page 595. What think ye, he said. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went, and he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I will go, sir, and went not. With
Whither of them twain did the will of his father? Zarbage is page 595, paragraph 1.
The Disservages, page 595. This abrupt question threw his hearers off their guard. They had followed the parable closely and now immediately answered the first. Fixing his steady eye upon them, Jesus responded in stern and solemn tones. Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Disservages, page 595, paragraph 2.
Disservages, page 595. The priests and rulers could not but give a correct answer to Christ's questions, and thus he obtained their opinion in favor of the first son. This son represented the publicans, those who were despised and hated by the Pharisees. The publicans had been grossly immoral. They had indeed been transgressors of the law of God, showing in their lives an absolute resistance to his requirements. They had been thankful and unholy when told to go and work in the Lord's vineyard. They had given a contemptuous refusal. But when John came, preaching repentance and baptism, the publicans received his message and were baptized. Disservages, page 595, paragraph 3.
Continuing the reading. The second son represented the leading men of the Jewish nation. Some of the Pharisees had repented and received the baptism of John, but the leaders would not acknowledge that he came from God. His warnings and denunciation did not lead them to reformation. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. They treated his message with disdain, like the second son, who, when called, said, I go, sir, but went not. And continuing on the next slide. Continuing, the priests and rulers professed obedience, but acted disobedience. They made great professions of piety. They claimed to be obeying the law of God, but they rendered only a false obedience. The publicans were denounced and cursed by the Pharisees as infidels, but they showed by their faith and works that they were going into the kingdom of heaven before those self-righteous men who had been given great life, but whose works did not correspond to their profession of godliness. Disservages, page 594, paragraph. Page 595, paragraph 4.
The Disservages, page 596. The priests and rulers were unwilling to bear these searching truths. They remained silent, however, hoping that Jesus would say something which they could turn against him. But they had still more to bear. Disservages, page 596, paragraph 1.
Here another parable Christ said. There was a certain man who planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to the husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And continuing on the next slide.
have a blessing. And again he sent another servant, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him into the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Desire of Ages, page 596, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 596. Jesus addressed all the people present, but the priests and rulers answered, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, they said, and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. The speakers had not at first perceived the application of the parable, but they now saw that they had pronounced their own condemnation. In the parable, the house represented God, the vineyard, the Jewish nation. Use it to you, part 5.
Amen. So we will be picking it up, dear ones, in our part 5 to continue the reading. So let's consider this verse before our review session. It's taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 from the King James Version, and it's a memory verse song as well. Most sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown? It is open, dear ones, to be able to ask any question, comments, anything that you have been impressed during our first 4 parts of our study. And we will open for all the Dear Remnant families to be able to help on answering the questions or the comments of the Remnant people.
Did the Pharisees actually knew that they were talking about their own judgments when they answered Christ's question about the parable, the husbandman, the vineyard?
Not until they'd finished their statement did they realize that they had condemned themselves.
Quick question. They believed that John was a prophet from God, but they did not believe that he was sent from God?
They knew it, but they didn't want to admit it. Because if they admitted it, they had to accept Jesus, because John said this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
But how could they then continue to think of themselves as learned men, having been given the light to carry? How could they have continued? Because as we see, as we're reading, their transgression progressed, because they didn't stop when they realized, even when Christ asked them the question and they realized by their answer that they condemned themselves, they wanted to go further in inflicting harm upon him. But how could they continue to have believed in their ways?
It was pride. When a person has taken a position against someone or something, it's hard to turn around and say, I was wrong. And they refused to do that, and it cost them their souls. So that might be a lesson for me, for you, for whoever. If you have made a wrong decision, by God's grace, change it.
And to be able to add onto that, the Lord did not leave none of his peoples in no generation without light. There were prophecies that the messenger was going to come and prepare the way for the Savior. They just needed to be able to study to show themselves approved unto God and to be able to see if that messenger was fitting the character of what was written. So if they were really following what the message was given to them to become depositaries of the word of God, as events started to come about, they needed to go back into the scripture and let the scripture be a counsel unto them. But what happens to any organization, leadership, or the Lord give them a condition, and when they leave the condition and start relying upon themselves and not follow the counsel that is written on a thus said the Lord, it always come into, if you follow by obedience, you will be in humility and you will follow the counsel. But if you don't follow the condition, what comes after? If it's not God that is leading you, then that means the enemy will be leading you. And if you are followed by the enemy's counsel, then you will carry his characteristic. And remember, Satan is known, especially the reason why he fell was pride. So when pride comes in, it becomes a war. And if it's a war, then become a war between the creator and yourself. So it is a fall. It's inevitable. It will come because you're not guided by the word of God. Is there any other question, dear ones? Any comments that you would like to be able to share with the dear remnant in the room? And for all of those new brethren that are coming in, if you don't have the projects, if it's possible, you could be able to send your email to either Elder Rob, or you can put it on a private text that I can be able to have it, and you will be receiving the project. But you could also have it with you. Meanwhile, that you're gathering your thoughts and your questions, there is a small scripture song where, as if the Pharisees and the Sadducees were given the opportunity to become not only depositaries, but they were supposed to be commandment keepers. And I just found it to be a little appropriate to be able to teach the children a little scripture song taken from Psalms 19:7-11 from the King James Version. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired a day than gold, yet the most fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. More abiding is thy servant's worn, and in keeping them there is great reward. and in keeping them, there is great reward. And with this scripture song, if the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes would have been obedient to the scripture, then they will be able to have the characteristic that would allow them to execute what the Lord had given them as depositors. If you have any thoughts, any poem, anything that you would like to share with the Dear Remnant family, if you want, this is the moment that you can begin to do so. I also found a beautiful poem, and it's entitled God and Prayer. It's taken from Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald, Volume 6, dated 1854 through 1855, May 29. It is from James White, resident editor, and it's pages 233 from paragraph 1 to paragraph 4. If anyone of the Dear Remnant family would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
There is an eye that never sleeps. Beneath the wing of night, there is an ear that never shuts when sinks the beam of light.
There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love which never fails when earthly loves decay.
There is an eye. No, that eye is fixed on seraph thrones. That ear is fixed on angel songs. That arm upholds the world on high. That love is thrown beyond the sky.
But there is a power which man can wield, and mortal aid is vain. That arm, that love to reach, that listening ear to gain. That power is prayer which soars on high and feeds on bliss beyond the sky.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. Well, if you have any testimony, dear ones, you would like to share with the Remnant family, may you unmute your mic to do so. Well, dear ones, we have just completed the first section of our review part. And this is the area where we also allow our dear brother to be able to ask any question on the section of the children's story time. And if you do still have any question or comment, you can continue to retain until the youth study is finished or even after the sermon. And I will pass the mic to our dear brother.
Hi. Good morning. It's review time. If you have any questions, put them in the chat. I think I've marked it so that I'll know where I was. And we're going over renewal of strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40, verse 31. The Easy Read Bible. Easy to read Bible says, but those that trust in the Lord will become strong again, like eagles. You know how strong an eagle is? When there's bad weather out there, they don't go sit in a tree and hunker down and try to stay out of the the wind and everything. They fly above the clouds. They will run and not be weak and get weak. They will walk and not get tired. In order to fight successfully, a soldier must have courage and strength. Of ourselves, we are weak and feeble, or we lack strength. But we have the promise, they that wait upon the Lord, or those that trust the Lord, shall renew their strength. Obstacles are things that slow everybody down. Obstacles to the advancement, that is, the doing of the work of God, will appear. But fear not. To the omnipotence of, or the all-powerful King of Kings, our covenant-keeping God, or promise-keeping God, unites the gentleness and care of a tender shepherd. Nothing can stand in his way. His power is absolute. He has all power. And it is the pledge of the sure fulfillment of his promises to his people. A pledge is a promise. He can remove all obstructions. An obstruction is like an obstacle that gets in your way to the advancement of his work. He has means or ways for the removal of every difficulty, that those who serve him and respect the means or the ways he employs may be delivered. His goodness and love are infinite or without measure, and his covenant or promise is unalterable. It can't be changed. The plans of the enemies of his work may seem to be firm and well established, but he can overthrow the strongest of these plans. To overthrow means he can change or stop their plans. And in his own time and way, he will do this when he sees that our faith has been sufficiently tested and that we are drawing near to him and making him our counselor. In the darkest days, when appearances seem forbidding or things don't look good, fear not. Have faith in God. He is working out his will, doing all things well, in behalf of or for the benefit of his people. The strength of those who love and serve him will be renewed day by day. His understanding will be placed at their service, that they may not err or go wrong in the carrying out of his promises. There is to be no despondency or discouragement in God's service. Our faith is to endure the pressure or stand the strain brought to bear upon it. God is able and willing to bestow upon or give to his servants all the strength they need. He will more than fulfill the highest expectations of those who put their trust in him. What's an expectation? You remember what an expectation is? Well, you expect Mama to put food on the table at mealtimes. That is an expectation. And that's from Sons and Daughters of God, page 219. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah 40, verse 31. And I thank you for listening, and I will go see if there's some questions. Whoops, something happened. Let me bring that back. No, there are comments. I don't see any questions. So apparently you understood everything. That's fantastic. I'll pass the mic back to Rose, and we'll see you next week.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And we would like to invite our dear Colombian remnant family to close our study with the Spanish version of our opening song. It's entitled Me Dice El Salvador.
Me dice El Salvador, es poco tu poder, hijo débil haya en mí, todo cuanto has merecido, todo debo a él, pues ya lo pagó. De las manchas del pecar, cual nieve me lavó. Señor, hallado he que solo tu poder a mi duro corazón es capaz de enternecer. Todo debo a él, pues ya lo pagó. De las manchas del pecar, cual nieve me lavó. Nada bueno hay en mí, tu gracia buscaré. En la sangre de Jesús, mis pecados lavaré. Todo debo a Él, pues ya lo pagó. De las manchas del pecar, cual nieve me lavó. Cuando ante el trono esté completo ante él, a los pies de mi Jesús, mis trofeos echaré. Todo debo a él, pues ya lo pagó. De las manchas del pecar, cual nieve me lavó.
Amén. Amén. Thank you so much, dear Garay family. Muchas gracias por participar. And thank you for all the dear remnant family that participated in our study. So next week we will continue with our part 5 of our lesson entitled The Temple Cleanse Again in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies or even our guests would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
If we could all kneel and bow our hearts and our heads and come humbly before our Godhead, righteous and heavenly Father, as we come before you to give you all honor and praises, Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for keeping us safely through another week, dear Father God. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for keeping us healthy. Thank you for providing food. Thank you for providing shelter. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come today humbly before you, lifting up prayers and songs and learning of your word. We know that we are in such a time, dear Father God, that so much despair and hurt and unhappiness and lack of faith and so many things that the devil would want to triumph with. But we know that he is already a defeated foe, and we continue to claim your glory and honor in all things, dear Father God, as we go through day by day. Truly, we have to just take moment by moment and humbly walk according to your light and not according to our understanding. May we continue to put self away. May we not hold anything in our hearts that does not belong to you. May we continue to
learn of you so that we can water and be watered, dear Father God. May we continue to reach out to brethren. May we continue to lift them in prayers, those that are sick and afflicted, those that are having any type of maladies, dear Father God. Praying for ourselves first that we may not do anything in this temple to hinder up anything to you, dear Father God. We thank you and we love you for so many things. Thank you for the lessons that are wrought. Thank you, dear Father, that even though things are not the best, we still have the best example to take us through, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all that you have done in our lives. May you be with each and every one of us that are here. Please open up our eyes, our hearts, and our ears, and our understanding. And help us, dear Father God, not to just take what we learned from others today, but to go and truly study thyself to show approve. For when the time come where we cannot either buy nor sell the words that we have learned and meditated upon ourselves in a quiet time with you will be what will be our sustenance to take us through. We thank you and we love you, dear Father God, for having mercies, for continued mercies upon our lives. In no other name than Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand and agree with you, dear sister. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will start lesson 303 on our chapter 65 entitled The Temple Cleansed Again, Part 5. And that will be held on May 2nd, 2020. We hope and pray that you will bless, dear ones, and may you have a blessed and peaceful rest of the Sabbath. Leaving this scripture's quote, to do good to everyone. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. May God bless and may you have a blessed Sabbath.